Chapter 58. This festival, on which Honest George spent a great deal of money, was the very dismalest of all the entertainments which Amelia had in her honeymoon. She wrote the most piteous accounts of the feast home to her mama. How the Countess of Barrisers would not answer when spoken to, how Lady Blanche stared at her with her eyeglass, and what a rage Captain Dobbin was in at their behavior, and how my lord, as they came away from the feast, asked to see the bill, and pronounced it a d bad dinner, and d dear. But though Amelia told all these stories, and wrote home regarding her guest's rudeness, and her own discomfiture, old Mrs. Sedley was mightily pleased nevertheless, and talked about Emmy's friend, the Countess of Barrisers, with such assiduity, that the news how his son was entertaining peers, and peeresses actually came to Osborne's ears in the city. Those who know the present Lieutenant General Sir George Tufto, K.C.C. B., and have seen him, as they may on most days in the season, padded and in stays, strutting down Pall Mall with a rickety swagger on his high-heeled lacquered boots, leering under the bonnets of passers-by, or riding a showy chestnut, and ogling broughams in the parks, those who know the present Sir George Tufto would hardly recognize the daring Peninsular and Waterloo officer. He has thick curling brown hair and black eyebrows now, and his whiskers are of the deepest purple. He was light-haired and bald in 1815, and stouter in the person and in the limbs, which especially have shrunk very much of late. When he was about 70 years of age, he is now nearly 80, his hair, which was very scarce and quite white, suddenly grew thick, and brown, and curly, and his whiskers and eyebrows took their present color. Ill-natured people say that his chest is all wool, and that his hair, because it never grows, is a wig. Tom Tufto, with whose father he quarreled ever so many years ago, declares that Mademoiselle de Jacy, of the French theater, pulled his grandpapa's hair off in the green room, but Tom is notoriously spiteful and jealous, and the general's wig has nothing to do with our story. One day, as some of our friends of the TH were sauntering in the flower market of Brussels, having been to see the Hotel de Ville, which Mrs. Major O'Dowd declared was not near so large or handsome as her father's mansion of Glenmalony, an officer of rank, with an orderly behind him, rode up to the market, and descending from his horse, came amongst the flowers, and selected the very finest bouquet which money could buy. The beautiful bundle being tied up in a paper, the officer remounted, giving the nosegay into the charge of his military groom, who carried it with a grin, following his chief, who rode away in great state and self-satisfaction. "You should see the flowers at Glenmalony," Mrs. O'Dowd was remarking. "E. Father has 3 Scotch garners with 9 helpers. We have an acre of hothouses, and pines as common as pays in the season. Our grapes weigh 6 pounds every bunch of 'em, and upon me honor and conscience I think our magnolias is as big as 2 kettles." Dobbin, who never used to raw out Mrs. O'Dowd as that wicked Osborne delighted in doing, much to Amelia's terror, who implored him to spare her, fell back in the crowd, crowing and sputtering until he reached a safe distance, when he exploded amongst the astonished market people with shrieks of yelling laughter. "What's that gawky guggling about?" said Mrs. O'Dowd. "Is it his nose bleedin'? He always used to say 'twas his nose bleedin', till he must have pumped all the blood out of 'em. And the magnolias at Glenmalony as big as 2 kettles, O'Dowd?" "'Deed then they are, and bigger, Peggy," the major said. When the conversation was interrupted in the manner stated by the arrival of the officer who purchased the bouquet. "Devilish fine horse, who is it?" George asked. "You should see me brother Molloy Maloney's horse, Molasses, that won the cup at the Curra," the major's wife was exclaiming, and was continuing the family history, when her husband interrupted her, by saying, "It's General Tufto, who commands the cavalry division," adding quietly, "He and I were both shot in the same leg at Talavera." "Where you got your step?" said George with a laugh. "G. General Tufto. Then, my dear, the Crawleys are come." Amelia's heart fell, she knew not why. The sun did not seem to shine so bright. The tall old roofs and gables looked less picturesque all of a sudden, though it was a brilliant sunset, and one of the brightest and most beautiful days at the end of May. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.